If you have any consumer questions or concerns, it's 312-981-7200. Talk and text them in right now, 312-981-7200. Herb, tell everybody about yourself. We'll take a break and come back and jump right into it.
Sure. I'm a consumer reporter here in Seattle. I cover the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. As you said, my website is consumerman.com, and my goal is to give you the knowledge you need to make smart decisions and avoid the scams, because we got to beat the bad guys and we got to save money.
Right. And we got some really great stories to talk about. And again, if anybody has any questions, Herb is with us at 312-981-7200. Herb, hang on, okay, buddy?
You got it, Nick.
All right, there you go. Herb Weisbaum, he's the best. Joins us every month, and you can check out his website at consumerman.com. We'll give you more information about that as well. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? It's Friday. Fly Jams Friday coming up. Get your requests in. Text and talk, 312-981-7200. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies. You big dummy. And it's Friday the 13th, so we're going to talk about superstitions and the Friday the 13th movie series. But right now, our good friend Herb Weisbaum, Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, is with us, and he's here to answer any of your consumer questions or your concerns. 312-981-7200. Phone and text lines are open right now. And let's welcome Herb back to the show. Welcome back, Herb.
Thank you. You realize it's Friday the 13th, right?
I'm sorry?
You realize this is Friday the 13th?
Yes.
Okay. Just thought I'd point that out in case anything goes wrong.
All yeah. Right. No. No. It's always anything goes wrong. It's usually my fault anyway. So it's
okay.
That's how it works. Yeah.
I'm not superstitious. I just wanted to point it out.
Okay. Yeah. No. We're going to talk about it a little bit later on.
Okay.
And superstitions as well. Okay. It's also not only is it Friday the 13th, but it's tax time, and it's creeping.
Yeah.
It's creeping closer and closer. In fact, you got to get it done by Monday. You got to have it in on Monday. And so a lot of people are seeing all these commercials on TV. And we've talked about this before, Herb, about how people are now going to use their phone to file their taxes and to do their taxes. And there are always questions. And this is what we wanted to talk about, you know, what are the vulnerabilities? What are the issues with and the risks that you might take if you are going to do your taxes on your cell phone?
We have spoken about this so many times that I actually did a story about it for NBC News based on you asking me this question.
Well, I feel
I decided it was time to talk to the experts and really find out the answer. Literally, we published this column a week ago just because of you.
Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, because every time I see one of those commercials, I just think, wow,
yep.
I don't think I would ever do that with my phone.
So I always gave you a good, correct answer, but now I have a more detailed answer to share with you and your listeners.
Great.
So, as you know, and you've seen the ads, the major software products like TurboTax and H&R Block and TaxAct and those let you prepare your forms using your mobile device. They all have apps that let you take a photo of the W-2, as you pointed out, to automatically populate your return with that information. And the question you've asked is, you already shop and do banking on your smartphone. Should you do your taxes this way? So I contacted a number of nationally recognized privacy and digital security experts, people that I trust and I've talked to for a long time, and every one of them agreed that using a mobile device for this task creates a number of vulnerabilities. They're not saying don't do it, but they want you to be aware that there are extra risks involved. One of the biggest risks, they said, is people who take photos with their personal phones and don't delete those photos after uploading them. So if you take a picture of the W-2 with all the information on it, like your Social Security numbers and all of that, it's possible that it will stay in your phone's photo storage or possibly into your cloud storage. And as Chris Thomas from IBM's X-Force Red said, quote, now your data is in more places that have a higher risk of being compromised than just your tax provider systems. Robert Siciliano, who I've dealt with for years, he's a security analyst with Hotspot Shield. He was specifically worried, besides the pictures, about lost or stolen mobile devices that don't have password protection on them. And the last time I saw a survey a couple years ago, it was like a third of the phones out there don't have some kind of password protection on them. So if someone were to steal your mobile device, you did your taxes on the phone, this would now give them access to everything on that phone, including your tax return, if you had a bad password, a very easy password, or no password on it whatsoever. So I think those are two real big things. And then the third thing is, as we've talked about before, Nick, mobile malware. So malware that is directly targeted at mobile devices where we all live right now. The threat is growing. According to a recent report from Symantec, those are the people behind Norton, the number of new mobile malware variants increased by 54% in 2017. So most of these are targeted to Android devices. That's not to say there aren't some for Apple devices, but most of these are for Android devices. So you could, for instance, have a keystroke logger on your phone watching everything you do, such as when you log in to do your tax preparation and that kind of thing. So again, it's not saying you can't do it this way. It's as Eva Velasquez, the head of the Identity Theft Resource Center, said to me, quote, I generally advise against using your mobile device to file taxes, but if you're going to do it, you need to be willing to take the responsibility that goes along with it. And I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah. By the way, callers are letting us know the taxes are due on Tuesday the 17th.
17th. That's like an extra day this year because of some reason.
There's
the holiday in Washington, D.C.
Right, Washington, D.C. holiday. Yeah. I forgot about that because I did my taxes.
Well, it wasn't because of Zuckerberg on Capitol Hill.
No, it's not because of that. So, but
because he already knows your tax return.
Exactly. He's got all of that information, but anyway, it's due on Tuesday the 17th. So you got that extra day. Well, I mean, you know, people have to be just diligent about this, and I'm one of these people. I read your story, Herb, and I'm one of these people that almost immediately, if I take a picture of something, I usually get rid of it. Like I'm one of these people who I don't know why I do this. I don't know how I got into the habit of this on my phone, on my computer. I erase emails. I delete everything. I delete text conversations that I have, and I don't do this for any paranoid reason. I think it's more because I'm anal in some ways like that, where I just want.
Well, you got to remember that when you delete stuff digitally, it's never really deleted in many cases. It also does make it harder to have a scrapbook or have memories if you delete all your pictures.
Well, yeah, I know, but I realize that. But I mean, I have a bunch of pictures on my phone that I think are necessary.
Right.
But if I take a picture or something that I don't need anymore, I'll get rid of it. You know, and I'm like that with emails, and I'm like that with texts as well. And I know that deleting stuff doesn't mean it's completely gone, but it's not on my phone. It just seems to me it just clogs stuff up. That's just me.
And two other points that are really important. I did contact the big tax preparation services, as you know.
Yeah.
And I heard back from both TurboTax and H&R Block. TurboTax said that its app doesn't store any data on a customer's phone or device, so that they say that you don't have to worry about that. And H&R Block said the photos taken with a mobile app are not saved to the device or the cloud and are removed from the client's device in about 10 to 15 seconds after uploading. Again, that doesn't mean they're not vulnerable. It doesn't mean that there's lots of software products on the market, but that's what the big two said. The one other vulnerability is you don't file your taxes mobily or even from any kind of mobile device sitting at a Starbucks or a coffee shop or an airport or a hotel room. Open Wi-Fi, we've talked about that before. The only way you can do that safely if you're going to use a public Wi-Fi is to have a VPN, a virtual private network, to encrypt the data. Otherwise, that's the other vulnerability, that you do that in some place where it's open Wi-Fi and the whole world is seeing what you're doing.
And again,
there is software, as we've talked about before, for your Android devices. I use a thing called Lookout that scans for viruses and that kind of thing. These devices are now a big vector for attack. The bad guys know that this is where we keep all of our lives. You would be very smart to get some kind of protective software, whether it's some of the big companies, I believe Norton makes it now, or whether you get something like Lookout, but you got to have some kind of security suite on these mobile devices now. They're just a big target for the crooks.
Got it. Okay, Herb, hang on.
You got it.
Herb Weisbaum is with us, and he is going to answer any and all of your consumer questions and concerns at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We've got a lot more consumer issues and news stories to talk about right after the news, which is next. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, Friday morning, Fly Jams Friday coming up. So get your requests ready to go. DJ Shagru will spin them, 312-981-7200. Straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all the regular Friday features coming up. It's Friday the 13th. So we're going to talk about superstitions, and we're going to talk about the Friday the 13th movie series as well. So that's all coming up. And also, Herb Weisbaum is with us right now. So if you have any concerns or questions concerning consumer stories, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. 312-981-7200. Herb Weisbaum is Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, joins us once a month, and you can check out his website at consumerman.com. We welcome Herb back. Welcome back, Herb.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Before we move forward, can I just go back to the tax thing and one more thing I want to share with you?
Sure, of course.
There's a really big scam going on right now, and I want all your listeners to know about it. It's going all across the country. The cyber criminals who are putting in false tax forms for people, the tax fraud. What they're now doing, there's a new twist to this. They're now putting in for the refund. They're having the refund deposited in a legitimate taxpayer's account, bank account. So either your bank account if you're the taxpayer, maybe somebody else's, but let's assume in most cases your bank account. It's a refund that you weren't expecting. It just shows up in your account. Then they call up claiming to be with the IRS. You were mispaid a refund, and you've got to wire them the money or get the money somehow right away, or you're going to be in big trouble. This is brand new, a new twist to keep people off guard. It's sweeping the country. People have lost thousands of dollars this way. If for any reason you find money in your bank account that appears to be an IRS refund that you were not expecting or not entitled to, you need to call the IRS because, A, if you spend it, that's a crime, and, B, if you think somebody's calling you to get it from you, you're going to be dealing with a con artist because the IRS would never call you to do this, but you need to contact them and say, hi, I'm a victim of a tax scam. What do I do? And they'll tell you how to get the money back to the U.S. Treasury. That's, they're always coming up with something,
man. Oh,
so
man.
I wanted to share that with you.
It never stops. That's unbelievable.
Nope. Yep.
Unbelievable. All right. Well, just, wow. how?
You know, if these guys put their brain power to doing something positive, they could cure cancer.
Yeah,
you know that?
Exactly. Absolutely right, man. And so how long has this been going on now? This, you said it's relatively recent, right?
We've been hearing a reporter for like the last month or so, couple of months, but it seems to be a, just a brand new twist on they just keep mixing things up to try to keep people off guard.
Jeez. Wow. All right. Keep your eyes peeled for that. And yeah. And again, the IRS is not going to call you on these kind of things.
Never call you. If somebody calls up claiming to be IRS, hang up the phone.
Right. Got it. All right. All right. Well, before we go into the next story, Herb, tell everybody about how they can subscribe to your newsletter, which is free.
Sure, real easy. Just go to my website, consumerman.com. It's right there on the homepage, and you get an email from me every week, and I'll tell you what I've been writing for NBC News and a couple of other things as well. So keep you up to date on all these stories we talk about.
Okay, great. And you check it out at consumerman.com. Okay, now we're going to talk about a story that I have no comprehension of. it's this virtual currency thing that's happening, the Bitcoin and all those other things. Now, I watched a full episode a couple of weeks ago, John Oliver, which I watch his show every week.
I saw that one.
John Oliver did a whole thing on it, and I still don't know what the hell it's about. And he did a wonderful job trying to break it down and explaining to it like he does every week. But I'm still, this whole Bitcoin thing, and now there are dangers with the virtual currency. Try to explain to people what the deal is here.
Sure. The danger is that these virtual currencies are vulnerable to real-life hacking situations. So a bottom-line description is, and you probably heard the word Bitcoin, Ethereum is another big one, Litecoin is another one. There's hundreds of these now.
Yeah.
It's basically money that is based on computer algorithms, computer code that is not controlled by a central bank, controlled by a country, not regulated. A lot of people think that's great because the price can skyrocket, as we've seen with Bitcoin, but then it can come crashing down. And a lot of stories dealt with that vulnerability of the risk of losing your money. What I want to deal with was the vulnerability of losing everything because this is vulnerable to hackers. Yeah. A lot of people aren't aware of that. And basically what they're able to do is they're sometimes breaking in to the vaults that hold all this cryptocurrency, several of them around the country. And, I mean, they've taken out, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars in cryptocurrency. In some cases, the institutions that are keeping this money, and their companies, basically, not institutions, have agreed to pay back some of the money. In some cases, you could lose all of your money. And they're also able to, through malicious software, attack your computer and try to get the money from you as you're trying to make these exchanges virtually between yourself and the vaults that are holding this digital currency. So there's two vulnerabilities here, and the bottom line is that if something happens, A, the cryptocurrency transactions are not reversible, and there's nobody backing them up. There's no government backing them up in almost every case. There's no institution backing them up. There's no fraud protection like a credit card.
Yeah.
If this happens, you're out of luck, and a recent report from Ernst & Young looked at this and said these attacks are increasing. They looked at 372 initial coin offerings that took place. So that's where this money comes into circulation between 2015 and 2017, and found that more than 10% of the funds, so that's as much as $1.5 million a month, were being stolen. And most people assume that this crime is being underreported. So it's something that this is one more thing that this is not a way to play funny money and think you're going to get rich. There's a lot of risk to doing these kind of things.
Yeah, I don't understand it, and I would never do it.
And if somebody, and you know, people are doing it.
No, I know a lot of people
hearing more and more news stories, you know, now our company, you can buy pizza with Bitcoin, or you can do this with Bitcoin. If you're going to get involved in any sense of the word, and they're making it easier and easier for people to do this all the time, make sure you don't store much of or any of this digital currency on your computer. You need to get what's called a wallet. It's like, I guess a thumb drive would be a good analogy for people who don't understand this stuff. A way you can save this offline without having it all stored somewhere online.
Right.
So if the worst happens, somebody's not getting to all of it. And the other thing to make a point is that to give you some indication of how much fraud is involved with this, a whole lot of the big credit card companies now will not allow anybody to purchase these digital currencies with credit cards. People were buying them with credit cards,
right,
and they were finding out that the price of the currency dropped. They couldn't pay off their credit card bill, so the credit card companies are saying, whoa, like timeout, we're not going to get involved.
And the major credit card company, a lot of the major credit card companies have just put the kibosh on this.
Yeah, I mean, just you cannot do it. We're just not going to let you do it, you know, whatsoever. So there's a lot of risks out there. There's a lot of dangers. There's a whole bunch of hype. If you want to play around, just put a little bit. Deal with a well-known exchange such as Coinbase, Coinbase, which is a leading marketplace for buying major cryptocurrencies in the United States, and make sure you don't, you know, but this is not where you want to put your life savings or even anything right away till this sorts it out. There's all kinds of talk, governments across the world, that they need to do something to do some kind of regulation. I'm not sure that's ever going to happen, but right now it's a very, very risky business.
You point out other countries have, though. It's just that we have not.
Yes, they're starting to, in some cases, some of the Asian countries are starting to do that kind of thing. But again, it's really hard to do that kind of stuff when it doesn't go through any institution. It just goes through my computer to your computer.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it becomes very, very hard to do that kind of thing.
Now, at the end of the piece that you wrote, you do have some bullet points on how people can you know, be careful on what they do. And one of the things is you be on guard.
A well-known exchange, like I said, something
right,
like Coinbase. Don't store a lot of this online. You get something called a wallet, a physical wallet that you can keep it in. You know, you've got to make sure that the system you're operating on is clean, no malware on there. So you've got to have all this software up to date. You've got to have all the patches. You've got to make sure you apply the updates and run all the security software because somebody could be getting in that way. And, of course, the key is to not fall for any phishing emails, no matter how urgent or ominous or what they say. We need your code or we need your login information. They're never going to ask for that. Give it to them. They could suck all that digital currency out, and there's no place to go to complain and say, I just got robbed. It's you did this. You're on your own. So you got to be really, really careful about this stuff.
And the phishing email is something that you should be aware of in a lot of cases, not just when you're dealing with Bitcoins and things.
Yes, and in many stories I've done recently, I've done a whole bunch of technology stories recently for some reason, and basically, you know, believe it or not, a lot of the systems are getting better, and it's coming down to human error. It's these phishing attacks or these, you know, people that just have not learned. You don't open an attachment. You don't click on a link from an unknown email that just comes in out of the blue. You don't respond to something that says, we're whatever, we're your bank, your credit card company, your utility company. We need this information from you. We lost it, whatever.
Yeah.
That's how still that human error, that tricking us into giving them this information that allows them to do all the dirty work, that is still the key way they're able to do their dirty work, and we've just got to stop falling for this. I got an email the other day out of the blue from someone, and I wasn't expecting it. It was a friend, and I literally called them up and said, did you just send me this article you want me to read? And he said, yeah, I wasn't. And I said, good, okay. And he said, thank you, that's what you should have done. I said, you bet I'm going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't click on anything. That's
yeah,
sort of my...
pain in the butt. It really is. I mean, it really slows you down.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
let me tell you, I had a ransomware thing on my computer once. It didn't lock it up. It was one of the original ones. It just sort of had all the bells and whistles and sirens go off, and you don't want to deal with that. It's
no,
a lot of problems once it gets in your system.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A phone call to a friend asking if they sent an email is a lot easier to deal with than the crap that can happen if you click on it.
Exactly. So. Well put, Nick.
Yeah, exactly.
You should be a consumer reporter.
Here's Joe with a question. Hi, Joe.
Hey, intriguing subject, guys. Let me admit my ignorance. I don't know what Bitcoin stands for. What is BIT, number one? Who started it? And since it's not FDIC insured, why would I want to even consider it?
You'd want to consider it because we're in the gold rush era right now. Bitcoin is, I don't know the where the name came from. These, again, are computer algorithms, long strings of code that are started by people who put them together. You have to know how to do it. It's called mining. People create these things, and the thought was that because this currency can fluctuate dramatically, that if you got in on the ground level and you made some of this Bitcoin or these other currencies, you'd be rich. And a lot of people are very rich if they got in on the ground floor and these currencies, you know, skyrocketed to tens of thousands of dollars for one coin. But a lot of people who got in when it was high and it dropped dramatically lost a whole bunch of money. And
yeah.
There's no safeguards. There's no insurance. There's no government regulation in most cases. It's just an absolute buyer beware free-for-all taking place right now.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, I've learned what I ever learned about this was from John Oliver's show, and the fact that there are so many of them. He broke it down. I mean, some of these coins, this virtual money that's out there are just ridiculous. The amount that are out there and the names of them and who started them, and it was just a fascinating and confusing and weird story.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely. Joe, thanks for the call. All right, Herb, hang on, okay?
Oh, you got it.
All right. There's Herb Weisbaum. Again, you can check out consumerman.com, and you can follow him on Facebook at Consumerman and Twitter at The Consumerman. We'll come back. We got a couple of more stories to talk about. And if you have questions or comments, it's 312-981-7200. More with Herb after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here until 5. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. And my good buddy, the best, Steve Cochran, has your morning drive starting at 6. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Herb Weisbaum is with us. If you have any consumer questions or comments or concerns, he's here for a few more minutes to answer them at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. So let's get back to our conversation with Herb. Herb, welcome back, sir.
Yes, sir. Hey, Nick, while you were making money there for the station,
yeah.
I was tracking the price of Bitcoin to answer that the question for the caller that called in.
Yeah.
So you know what those seismic charts look like when there's an earthquake?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right here. So basically, when let's go back to August 9th, 2010, and Bitcoin was worth 7 cents. This is according to CoinDesk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't shoot up to start shooting up to around June, April of 2017, when it was worth about $1,100. And then the big spike was in December of 2017. And December 11th, one Bitcoin was worth $17,549. So if you bought one Bitcoin and held on to it for 6 cents, it was now worth $17,549. Dropped down to $7,287 on August the 9th, and right now it's at $7,994, so almost $8,000. So you can see how this thing is fluctuating all over the world. And again, some people who got in early and mined this stuff and only paid pennies are super rich right now if they cashed out or whatever, and other people are not.
Yeah, wow. I still wouldn't even mess with it.
You know what? I have a good rule of investing. If you don't understand it, you shouldn't be in it.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely.
My grandfather told me that.
There you go. Great advice. Sage advice. You know, since we're talking about technology, you also have a piece here about the cloud. How safe is it for your data?
Yeah, and this is a big story, but I'll just basically boil it down. It was the brand new IBM X-Force Threat Intelligence Index that came out just a couple of days ago. And the good news in this report was that cyber thieves are changing up their game and they're going away from stealing data, which is good news. 2.9 billion records they report were stolen in 2017, down from 4 billion stolen in 2016. So it's a 25% drop. But the reason they say, which is why this is not good news to celebrate, is because the bad guys are switching to ransomware, where they lock up your computer, demand you get paid normally by Bitcoin or digital currency in order to unlock all your data, is skyrocketing because they can simply make more money that way, and the bad guys always go where the money is, and the cloud is not immune from having things terrible happen to it, in most cases, by human error, which we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
So this is really sad. If you think about this and looking at the big picture, what this report is really saying is there have been so many records breached in the data breaches in the last couple of years. There's so much information floating around out there that criminals can use to pretend to be us to open bank accounts and credit cards and get Social Security numbers and all this other kind of stuff, that the value of these files is going down, and the effort to monetize it is not as lucrative as it used to be. So rather than having to steal data, break into a computer, steal the records, get it on the black market, have somebody willing to buy it and monetize it that way, it's much more profitable for them and easy to just cut to the quick, get a malicious piece of software, get it on your computer with a phishing scam or clicking on a link or downloading a file that you should have downloaded, lock up your computer and say, hello, Nick, your computer is completely locked up. If you'd like your data back, we want 2 bitcoins and you have 48 hours to do it. And if you don't do it, your computer is going to be frozen forever. You're never going to be able to unlock your data again. Yeah. And then, of course, we tell you not to pay the bad guys, and but you're freaking out because your computer's locked up, and then even if you do pay them, there's no guarantee they're going to unlock your computer. So the takeaway message from this report is that companies, big and small, and users, big and small, you and I and everybody else listening, have got to back up our data daily at the very least, have it safely put aside in a thumb drive or a alternative drive that saves your information, because if you get locked up with this ransomware, you do not want to have to pay these people to get your computer working again. You'll be able to take your data that's set aside, get a new computer, and start all over again and put your business or company back together. They're really focusing now on 911 call centers and hospitals because they're emergency situations and they really have to pay up because they can't wait to get themselves up and running again. Yeah. So they're hitting small and big cities all across the country. They tried up Atlanta for a couple days with malware, this ransomware. It is just growing, and they're expecting it to be even bigger in 2018 and 2019 because, again, it's having a big payday for the bad guys.
Wow. All right. And you can read all about this stuff at consumerman.com and keep up to date. Again, and you should subscribe to Herb's newsletter as well. It's free. And you should subscribe and keep up to date on all this stuff. Last story, Herb, is a story that it seems to me that I get all my news from watching comedy shows, because I watch I watch John Oliver, I watch The Daily Show, and I watch all the late night shows and things like that. The Rundown with Robin Thede as well. And they did a story on The Daily Show about no signature needed anymore on credit card transactions. They made a funny bit out of it. It was very funny. But I think that's a story that we should talk about, that because of the chip technology, it's getting to the point now where you're not required to sign anything anymore.
Right, the merchant is not required to get you to sign. You just had that on the news in the last news break.
Yeah,
and basically, people scratch. You know those pads. You couldn't use that signature in a court of law.
No, I know.
It was basically there to intimidate you to say, okay, I signed it, I did it, or something like that. The chip cards have prevented the fraud. It's not a signature that prevents fraud at the register. They're working really, really well. The fraud is moving to online, where no signature is required. It also slows things down just a little bit, and we're in this case where it's a rapid pace. I think you're still going to see them. They'll still probably ask you for them. They don't have to ask them a lot of times if it's a very small purchase, but they may ask you for them if you have to swipe the card. They may also decide to ask you for them at a restaurant because they want you to add the tip, so they're going to bring you the bill and ask you to sign it and add the tip. Or you may start seeing a number of restaurants, as out here in Seattle they're starting to do, which is bring that little handheld thing to you, so you put your chip card in, it reads it, it right away says you want to put a tip, and it's right there, and they give you the receipt, and there's no signature involved.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how that evolves in the restaurant. Darden, the big company that owns like Olive Garden and all that, says we're going to give you the receipt. But some smaller places where I go to here already have switched to, just as they do in Europe, they bring the machine to you, you stick the card in, the bill shows up, you put in the tip, it comes out, thank you very much, have a nice day.
Right. And that's how they do it in cabs now. In cabs, you stick the card in, and then you know they ask you if you want to put the tip in. You can put the tip in, and boom, it's done.
Those chip cards that work so well in stopping counterfeit fraud cards, it doesn't mean somebody can't steal one and use it, but they can't make counterfeits anymore, which has dramatically reduced the fraud at the point of purchase.
Yeah, and let's say you stop into the Walgreens to pick up a couple of things, you're not going to sign it. You don't have to sign it at that point. You just stick it in, and boom, it's done. And one of the articles said that it's anything under $50, they usually say you don't have to sign.
Right. The big threat vector now, the big place, is gas stations.
They
have a few more years to convert, and that's where there's a lot of skimming devices put on. They're stealing credit card numbers. My advice, and I've said this for years, I would never never use a debit card at a gas station pump. They are too vulnerable to the fraudsters being involved. You don't have the protections with a debit card. I would only use a credit card if I was paying for gas at the pump until they start taking chips in chip cards.
And you know what's really interesting about this is that I was stunned by this. It says many pumps are too old to incorporate chip reader technology, and if they have to be replaced, to the tune of $15,000 to $17,000 per pump.
Yes, a lot of money involved with these things, and again, some of them are really, really old. So when the credit card companies gave them a few extra years over merchants to make the changeover. So one near me already did. They made the changeover, which is really smart. But in general, they have a long time to go. So those are really the vulnerable point of purchase transaction point right now. I would be very careful, and I would never use a debit card when I paid for gasoline at the pump. If you're going to use a debit card, take it to the person in that little booth and pay with that.
Got it. Okay, Herb, always a pleasure. You can check out Herb at Consumer Man. Subscribe to his free newsletter. Herb, always a pleasure, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thank you, Nick. Have a good April 13th.
Okay. Thank you, buddy. Take care.
Okay.
All right, Herb Weissbaum, everybody. He's the best, and he'll talk to us again next month and answer all your consumer issues again. All right, we'll take a break, and the news is coming up in 5 seconds.